Psalms, nope, not, did I say 103 or chapter 3? Okay, I'm in 103. I knew that looked long. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say, of my soul there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou art hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. I mean, when's the last time you prayed and you said, God, smack them in the face. Don't answer that. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Definitely don't answer that one. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Go over to chapter 5 for me if you don't mind. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and the deceitful man. But as for me, I will come unto thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship towards thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee, for thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteousness. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. I'll comment in just a moment. I would like to preach to you on the topic, make it personal. And Brother Jerome is going to pray for us.
Lord, we come before you asking you, Lord, to use Pastor this evening, God, to preach the word, God,
thank
that you've laid
Jesus,
on his heart.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Anoint him as he preaches it.
Lord,
God, I pray, Lord, that we've come in here with open ears,
glory,
and an
glory,
open spirit,
glory,
God, to take
glory,
the word
gracious,
in, God, and apply it to
Lord,
our lives, Jesus. Lord, I pray this
I love
in
you,
your mighty
Jesus.
Name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And Lord bless you. You may be seated. Thank you. So let me just say, we are creatures of habit. Who was it said something to me tonight? Was that you, Connie? Yes. She parked in a parking spot and said, oh, Brandon and Jerome are going to be mad at me because this is their spot. Now, last I checked, their name wasn't there written on the concrete. If it is, I didn't put it there, and I'm not aware of it. I don't think there's a sign that says only Jerome or Brandon can park here. But we're creatures of habit. It's just a fact. We fall into the same molds of life week after week after week. Virtually every single one of you are sitting in the same seat you sat in on Sunday, and you sat in last Wednesday. And you sat in the week before, and the week before, and the week before. Why? We're creatures of habit. Habits can be helpful, but they also can mold our life one way and only one way. What I like about David and what he writes is David is very personal in his writings. If you read the scripture and the things that we read, you can feel David's inward parts, if you please. It's as if David is in his prayer closet and he's journaling every detail of his prayer, but he doesn't sound like a praying man. He sounds like a man having a conversation. David, I would suggest, is probably the most unique writer in the scripture. I would suggest that David pours his heart out in his writing. Now, here's the kicker. We all know and we all believe that the Word of God is holy, it's divine, and it has been inspired by God. Or we could say it this way. Nothing made it into this book that God did not put His approval on. But God, in allowing David to write unto us, He allowed David to put things in his own words with his own twist and his own spin, as others did. But the uniqueness of David's writings to me become very clear. And I find it almost beyond ironic that the Bible calls David a man after God's own heart, and it appears that David is always speaking with his heart and with his passion in these writings. If you look again, he says things like, "There are many of those which say of my soul," there's no help for him. He says, "God, a lot of people don't think there's any help for me." But then he goes on to say, "But you, Lord, you're my shield and you're my glory and you're the one that lifts me up." Now, as you listen to that, ask yourself, and maybe you do, when is the last time you prayed with such passion the way David prays? Many people say, "I have a hard time praying," but it's because it's become very robotic and we're trying to find the right things to say. It's almost indicative of the politically correct society that we live in. We feel like we've got to find the right words in praying before the Lord. We feel like we've got to say the right things. When we come up to the altar, we certainly feel like we've got to do what everybody else is doing. And if nobody else is doing it, well, probably shouldn't be doing it, and I don't want to be the oddball, so I'll just go along with everybody else. So in our lives, each day, we all have basically the same schedule. You get up probably about the same time every day. You have a habit that you follow. Whether you pray first, or you sit down, you have your cup of coffee, then you pray. Whether you have your coffee, you don't pray at all. You might have breakfast, you might never eat breakfast. And then you get up and you go to work same time every day, unless you're self-employed, and then hopefully you still go to work the same time, or you've got a serious problem with being disciplined. We normally eat at the same restaurants. I don't know about you, but you don't got to give me a menu when I go to a restaurant. When I go up to the diner in Jefferson, same thing every time. They know it too. They walk up, they have their pad out, they say, 3 eggs over medium, you want your hash browns crispy, and you want bacon, right? The only question today is, do you want homemade or do you want to go regular on the toast? And sometimes I'll change that up to break it up. But every time I try something different, it just doesn't work. So I just stick to the same thing. I'm more comfortable that way. Same restaurants. We don't deviate much. Most of us drive the same way to work every day. Drive the same way to the store. Now, I don't know about you, but I always take different routes. Sometimes when I'm going home from the church, sometimes I'll go Route 11. Sometimes I'll go East Union. Sometimes I'll go Lenox New Line. Other times I'll go down to 46. There ain't many options, but I just can't stand the same, you know, mundaneness of doing the same thing the same way every day. It just kind of drives me crazy. Now, I got a question for you. How many of you are so rigid in your daily route, if you please, that oftentimes you'll go somewhere you normally don't go, but you find yourself going the same direction you always go every other day? If you've done that, raise your hand. That's it? Just a couple of you? How many of you, you're so rigid or so you're so mundane in your daily schedule, you go the same place, drive the same way, that there may be a time where you're going to go somewhere you don't normally go. Maybe you've got a doctor's appointment. and you're driving to the doctor's office, but you find yourself going the wrong direction because you're driving the same path that you drive every day. Raise your hand now if you got it. Okay, it's a few more of you. I do it all the time. Why? Because my routine path is stuck in my head because it becomes so routine. Some people read the same amount of scripture. You might say, I do a chapter a day. Or I'll read a couple of verses and you stick with that. You'd rarely deviate from it. Some people pray the same general prayers. How many remember the prayer as a child? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. My kids sometimes, they'll sit down at the dinner table or they'll go to bed at night and they'll start to pray and they'll say, thank you, Lord, for this food. Oh, no. We're not eating now. We're going to bed. Because they got this routine prayer that they pray. And that's not bad. That's not my point. Now, most people sit in the same seat in church every single service. Any change, it ruins our witness. Holy Ghost gone. Previous saint of God, now an enemy of the state. As you are forced into another seat now, you sit there strategizing how you can get your seat back next week before that heathen takes it again. You know what I'm talking about. That is how rigid we are in our schedules. Most people spend the same amount of time at the altar. It's almost, I come up, I'll kneel, I'll pray for 5-10 minutes, I get up, I wipe my tears if there are any, and I go back and I sit down. Some people don't deviate from that schedule. And for many people, you talk to the same people every service, before and after service. You go where you're most comfortable. You don't deviate. You don't go to the stranger. You don't go to the person. I mean, watch this. You want to see this? Watch this. Nicole, you're the newest, so I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to break you in. Who do you talk to every service? Your roommate and the two girls that sit beside you every service. Have you talked to Jessica back there? No. She's like, I didn't even know that was Jessica. I didn't even know Jessica was here. I don't even know her name. I've been wondering. Why? Because we are routine in what we do. We all do it. I'm not picking on you. Everybody does it. That's who we are. That's how we are built. The thing about David is in every psalm, every single psalm that David writes, you can feel and see his personal fingerprints on those scriptures. Yes, God gave him the liberty and God gave him the foresight and God probably even imparted the words into his spirit in order for him to write what God wanted, but God allowed David's heartbeat to be in his own words. It's something different when you read the book of Psalms. Written with passion, written with personal intensity, and I think that explains how and why many people cannot grasp Psalms 148, 149, and 150. You see, when we talk about David's personal passion for the Lord, remember that David is the one who introduced musical instruments as worshiping the Lord, as a method of worshiping the Lord. David didn't go with the norm. David was always thinking outside the box. He wanted God to be exalted and lifted up in any way possible. And so when you get to the last three books or four in the book of Psalms, we hear and we read some of David's passion in his writings, no doubt not inspired by God, but permitted by God. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of his saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. let them praise his name in the dance. Now, David is not trying to preach a sermon that gets everybody's attention. David is trying to share with you and I his love and his adoration and his desire to worship God. He doesn't need someone saying, okay, let's all stand. Now let's clap our hands to the song. He don't need all that. David said, let me tell you what I think we should do. Let them praise his name in the dance. I defy anybody that tells me I'm supposed to sit there with my hands folded in church service. Hey, buddy, I'm not here worshiping you. I'm here worshiping God. And if you don't like it, then close your eyes or go somewhere else. Let them praise his name. How did we ever get to the point where people tell you how to worship God in church? I know a lot of local churches over the years, people would tell me they'd clap their hands and they'd lift their hands and they'd get cross-eyed, dirty looks from people. You give me a dirty look, I'll be like, everything okay? Okay, just checking. I'm just worshiping God over here. I apologize if I didn't get your permission on how I was supposed to worship God. David wasn't looking for anybody's permission. David wasn't trying to find worship that was relevant. David wasn't trying to worship God in a way that was acceptable by everybody else. David said, this is the way I think, and if the Bible says he is a man after God's own heart, I'd say if anybody should teach us how to worship, it should be David. But it was unorthodox. It was not with the status quo. It was way ahead of its time in David's day. Everything was very regimented. Everything was very laid out. The whole process, the whole ritualistic ways of the tabernacle, and they were ritualistic. But David said, well, we're going to go outside of that, because David had a heart and a love for the Lord. For the Lord take pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and the two-edged sword in their hand. Go on to chapter 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. David was the first one in the Old Testament that taught us how to move out of the flesh and move into the Spirit as we praise God, before the Holy Ghost was ever given to humanity. He said, praise him for his mighty acts. You want a reason to praise God? Praise God that he's that great. That's what he's saying. Praise God for all the things. Well, what's God done in my life? You living, you nincompoop? You still alive? Yes, you are. Has God blessed you as he blessed your home? Well, we're going through all kind of trouble right now. Well, quit, get your thumb out of your mouth. And thank God for what he's going to teach you in the middle of your trial. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. There we go. Nobody before David taught us to worship the Lord with instruments. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. There he goes again. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. I'm sorry, it does get a little loud sometimes. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. We're not reading a book that David wrote, 101 ways on how to praise the Lord. We are hearing David's heartbeat put down on paper. And we are getting an in-depth look exactly of the man that David was. What I'm saying to you is what David gave us was very personal to him. He wasn't just writing something down. He wasn't just trying to come up with ideas on how to praise God. He wasn't trying to give us a church growth seminar. David wasn't trying to make money on writing a book on how to praise the Lord. He was just sharing with you his personal feelings and his heartbeat on how to bless the Lord. Amen. And we see another side of David when we get into the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel. One such occasion was 2 Samuel 24 and 24. If you want to put that up on the screen. David had numbered Israel, and it angered the Lord. Now the prophet told David, watch this, I want you to catch this. The prophet told David to build an altar and make a sacrifice to the Lord. That was it. That was the extent of the instructions. David went to Arauna, the Jebusite, and David offered to purchase the land. Well, David asked for the land in order to build the altar. Arauna was going to give him the land, and David said what? He said, no. He said, I'm not going to give God anything that doesn't cost me. David made it personal. He could have just went ahead and built that altar anywhere. But he sought out a good piece of land. And he wanted to make sure that he had personal investment. Listen, I'm being honest when I say this. I'm not trying to sound critical. You've got to be very, very careful. You've got to be very, very careful when you sit there. And I may be respectful when I say this. I don't mean to be cool. But you're too lazy to get up off your chair. You're trying to worship God this way. And you're singing, oh, how great is our God. Because what you're doing is you're becoming regimented. All you're doing is you're following everybody else. You're not singing it from the abundance of your heart. There's no personal investment going into your praise. That's why the Bible says to offer a sacrifice of praise. News flash. You won't always feel like praising God. You won't always feel like lifting your hands. You won't always feel like going to church. But you do because it's personal to you. Hopefully you don't just come because you're so used to coming on Sunday. You don't know what to do with your Sundays if you don't go to church. But hopefully you go because, as David said, there's no better place I'd rather be than in the house of the Lord. Hey, hang on a second. I got news for all the peeps out there that are jumping on the internet church bandwagon. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's log into YouTube and watch church. No, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Now hang on a second. Why? Because it's personal with David. Yeah, I could sit home, and I'm not talking about those that can't make it. I could sit home and I could watch church, but that's too impersonal. David said, I want to make it personal. I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to get my lazy carcass up out of bed. I'm going to brush my teeth so I can smile without being embarrassed. I'm going to comb my hair so I don't look like a homeless man. I'm going to put on some clothes so I don't look like I just crawled out of bed in my pajamas. And I'm going to go to the house of the Lord. And when I get there, I'm going to clap your hands, all ye people. I'm going to shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Because David made it personal. He made it personal. He made it personal. And even when he faltered, when he faltered, when he failed, when he sinned, David did not change his ways. It was personal. And so he said to Arauna the Jebusite, no, I will not take anything and give it to the Lord if it doesn't cost me. That's why offerings shouldn't be the cheapest thing you can pull out of your pocket. It should cost you. Noah came out of the ark, and Noah was given all of these instructions. Noah, you can get your family, you can take them out of the ark, you can get all the animals, bring them out. Once you go and multiply and replenish the earth, Noah gets out and he makes it personal. Noah says, I'm going to build an altar unto the Lord. and I'm going to make a grand sacrifice. The Lord never asked for it. Folks, if we only do what God asks us for, we probably will never make it into heaven. I don't have a whole lot of tolerance for the people. I don't see it in the Bible. You show me where it's in the Bible and I'll do. Show me in black and white. No, you won't. You will twist it and you'll turn it any way you want to turn it. You won't see anything because you don't want to see it. You shouldn't need to. I shouldn't need the Bible to tell me do this or that. There's things I want to do because it's personal with me. I don't like shaving. I don't think you're going to hell if you don't shave. That's not what I'm saying. But to me, when I walk on this platform, it's personal to me. It's not just here I am, you know, listen to me preach again. No. I want to be a good representation of the Lord. I don't want to look like a slob. I don't want to look like somebody who's unkept. That's just me. It's personal to me. When I walk up to this pulpit, it's personal. I don't consider it a right. I don't consider it a right to preach to you. I don't consider it, you know, time I paid my dues. No. Anybody that will give their ear to you, I feel it is a privilege. And so it's personal to me when I get to preach to you. It's personal to me when I get to help you walk through some of the most difficult places of your life. I am not a hireling. I didn't start this thing based off of how much of a salary and 401k they offered us. We came out here and we sold a house that we loved dearly and didn't make a lot of money on it. Only lived there 2.5 years. And when we went full time, it was hell. It was sacrifice. It was living without anything. It was just completely trying to figure out how to scrape by and get to life. But we knew it's where God wanted us, and it's we wanted to do what not only what God wanted us to do, but we wanted to go the extra. I'm not going to wait on God to tell me to quit my job and go full time. I know where God has called me, and that's where I'm going to give my life to. That's how I'm going to invest myself. It's personal for me. Ministry is personal. Everything do is personal, and I don't need somebody to give me a book that gives me instructions on how to be a Christian. You hear the, well, God doesn't care. I can guarantee you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that person ain't prayed one day and asked God what he thought about it. I guarantee you. Because we have a tendency to tell God what we think he should feel, what we think he should think. God didn't care when he called Samson to live the life of a Nazarite. God didn't care about Samson's hair being long or short. Didn't care one bit. God wasn't going to be offended if Samson drank a glass of wine. But God knew that a Nazarite, somebody that made a Nazarite vow, was different from everybody else. They were disciplined. They learned to do things that was maybe outside of their comfort zone or outside of their own personal desires. And so, he gave those instructions to Samson. He didn't say, you have to do this. He said, as long as you want divine strength that comes from heaven, you need to do this. Why? Because God can only impart the supernatural to those that are willing to do above and beyond everybody else. Hey, I might be able to walk up to the pulpit and preach every day of my life and go home and feel good about myself. That's not what I'm about. I want God to do things with me and through me that he can't do through anybody else. So if he asks me to pay a higher price, I'm going to pay that price. And I'm okay with it because to me, it is personal. It's personal. And so Noah built that altar. He sacrificed because he knew he had a sacrifice. Here's another money tip for you. You always talk about money, you know, because people don't like talking about money, so you do. God gave the clean fowl and the clean animals by threes in the ark. And you probably heard me say this, but The rest of them were by twos. But God never told him what to do with the extra. You know why? I want to see what his heart's like. I want to see if he's just in this thing for the ride, to stay alive, just to exist. Or I want to see if his heart's in it and he's willing to go the extra step, the extra mile. So Noah, he gets done. The boat settles down. And Noah's like, I got extra. I can give it to the Lord. Be careful when the Lord blesses you financially. Because you might say, ooh, I got extra. I can go shopping. And the Lord may be saying, oh, that's just a test of your heart. It's true. Noah wasn't told to build the altar. He wasn't told to make a sacrifice. We shouldn't have to be told everything. We shouldn't need a blueprint for everything. David had no blueprint for worship. He had no blueprint. Nobody said, hey, take instruments and put a worship team together. No, David said, hey, you know what? Let's put a worship team together. Let's praise the Lord with all of our might and all of our heart when we're in the house of the Lord. When we're on the side of our bed in the morning and in the evening. It was personal to David. The Bible says, make your requests known. It's almost similar to verse 4 of chapter 3 in Psalms. Put that back up for 1 second, please, Brad. Chapter 3, verse 4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I could probably better help you understand that by saying it this way. David didn't just put some music on and sit there and enjoy it. Last Friday, I took my chair. I didn't ask you to take my chair back. He's so gung-ho about his glasses, he's not even paying attention. And so Friday night, I'm not picking. Honey, you can come get ready for me if you don't mind. I just noticed, I looked out and I seen some people like this. Now, there's a time, so I'm not saying that in itself is inappropriate at all. But David, he didn't leave that verse up there. Don't get rid of it. He didn't do this. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Now, you got to catch some of those things. If you say to me, I worship God with my voice, nobody would ever say that. We would just say, I worship God. But David was showing us it was personal. I wasn't worshiping God in my heart. I wasn't even just clapping, but I cried unto him with my voice. Own voice. God gave me a voice and I used it. Don't ever criticize somebody if they're up here and they start screaming or they start crying or they start shouting to the Lord. They're using the voice God gave them to worship the God that gave them the voice and gave them their life. And you may not know what was in their bottle of ointment. You may not know what was in their own alabaster box. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. The Bible says, make your requests known. Make your request known. Make it known. Now, that is where we become impersonal with the Lord. Why? Because first of all, we're very rigid. And we're very regimented in our approach to the Lord. We come to church because it's the right thing to do. And we sit there and we participate in service because Brother Tyler does a great job leading us. And we go to the altar because it's kind of become our thing. You know, it's our thing. And let me tell you something. If you don't think that matters, go to some other churches with me. they don't move at altar service. I mean, you have a better chance getting the statue of the Virgin Mary worshiping the Lord. And that's the truth. Church, I preached that recently. I mean, God, they didn't move. I was ready to have a Holy Ghost throwdown when one person gave me an amen. Thank God. The dead is coming to life. Speaking of, I'm working right now and having Dr. Hughes come and be with us in April. So for those of you that know Brother Hughes, you know it'll be a treat upon treats. And I think we got some dates ready, actually. But anyway, it's personal. I don't lift my hands because someone tells me to. It's personal. I was the guy that had no future. I was the guy that had little education. I was the guy that didn't finish high school. I was the guy that didn't go to college. I was the guy that didn't get voted on anything. I was the guy that didn't have hardly any friends in school. I was just this awkward, skinny, long-haired kid. Not super long, but it was long enough. I was the guy that we were, and tell me if I'm wrong, Mom, we were so poor growing up that we had a guy who used to come out to our house, and he worked for Ford, and he always used to drive a new Ford truck. And one day we were in his truck, and we're going down the highway, and I'm looking, and I'm like, your foot's not on the gas pedal. He said, yeah, it's cruise control. I said, what? He said, yeah, you just push this button, and it kind of drives by itself. Wow. Really? Yeah, I had old vehicles. And then when I moved out, I didn't have a car yet, and I had this lady from work. She'd pick me up, and she'd take me back and forth to work. It was, 1990 maybe, 91? 90, I think. And she had like a 1987 or 88 Honda Accord. So it was only a couple years old at the time. And I remember one day on the way back from work, we pulled through the Burger King, and she pushes the button. And I'm watching her, because I observe. And I'm like, did your window just go down by itself? And she says, yeah. Now, you think I'm undone, I'm just telling you. I'm like, how do you do that? Well, it's called auto down. You just push the button, it goes down. I'm like, wow. I must have looked like a total dupe to some people. But here I am at 48, and I can tell you that God has given me a beautiful, wonderful, great, blessed, prosperous life. We're in our third home. I bought my first house, and I'm single. I try and preach, and they're catching on, and I'm proud of all of our young people. You don't think it's a big deal. But I preach him, you better make sure your bills are paid. Stop being lazy. Don't be a bum. Don't make excuses not to pay your bill. You pay them on time. Not a day late. Don't make excuses why you can't pay it. Pay your bills. I told him what we ought to start doing is if we're going to use you in a platform, we're going to pull your credit report. You think I'm joking? There are people who won't hire you if you got bad credit. You know why? Because that means you're irresponsible. You can say, I don't care what you say. You say it however way you want to. If you don't pay your bills, you're irresponsible. Now, you can fix it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can fix it. So anyway, what I'm saying to you is, you know, I have three great, 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 handsome boys that I love dearly, that I would die for. I have a great, great, great wife who's as faithful as the day is long. When people are getting divorced all over the world, I'm not worried about her. And I don't think she's worried about me. I'm saying I'm a blessed man. And I even believe that I have some common sense and some smarts. So when I lift my hands, it's personal to me. Now, some days in my lethargic ways, I may become very regimented in my own prayers. And recently, that's where this came from, because I kind of have this routine prayer that I pray every day, and I try not to be too lazy, so I try and deviate a little bit. I try and cover all some of the same things. And recently, I just kind of felt like the Lord said, hey, make it personal. Deviate from the norm. And so I think about David, and you don't need to know what to pray or how to pray. Just talk to God. Make it personal. Make your request personal. God, I want to do a better job serving you. God, I want to be a better Christian. You got to get off all that nonsense that God is looking down at you, pointing his finger, you're a failure. That's not God. Make it personal. Make those requests personal. Make your worship personal. Personal. That old song says, look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He say, hey, I'm going to tell you something. And some people, Brother Jerry, and I'm not joking, some people do not understand the value of a sound mind, especially in this world. When I see Christians that I will call a baby in the Lord, talking to me about, I was witnessing them, they're just a baby in the Lord. I'm thinking the baby doesn't even know that he's the baby. Not a big baby, I'm talking about a baby in the Lord. And I'm thankful that God has given me a sound mind where I can identify a baby in the Lord. I'm thankful that I got no problem pointing out my faults like David did. I'm thankful that God has given me a basic understanding of the Scripture. I get excited when the Lord gives me a revelation. I read one today that about knocked my socks off. I'm going to share it with you just because it's fun. Are you ready for this one? I'm going to preach it someday. Watch this. Let me scroll on my iPad. Here it comes. I'm almost there. Uh-oh. What happened? I hit something else. Are you ready? Watch. 2 Samuel 12 and 15. Write it down. You're going to want to meditate on it. Here it comes. And Nathan departed unto his house. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. If you caught what I caught, once you raise your hand, I'm going to call you out. So better know. Are you ready? And the Lord struck the child that was Uriah's wife. God would not recognize Bathsheba as David's wife. He still recognized Bathsheba as Uriah's wife because David broke the law of God and Bathsheba made a vow to Uriah and he made a vow to her. And in God's eyes, even though David had violated that vow, they were still married. You know what that means? That means be careful because you make a vow, God's holding you to it. The world might say it's okay. The world might say it's okay for men to be in girls' sports. And the world might say it's okay for a woman to marry a woman. And the world might say it's okay for you to move in with your girlfriend. And the world might say it's okay for you to sleep with them before you marry and make a vow. And the world might say little white lies are okay. And the world might say, but that's not what God says. God's law is always the supreme law. And so you see, when I worship God, I get excited when he shows me little things like that. I get excited that God deems me worthy enough to open up some things and let me see what God really intended when he put it down on paper. I get excited that I know everything's just not letter and law. That the word of God is yea and amen. You can't debate it. You can't put your own twist on it. I need to know what the heartbeat of God was when that scripture was written in ink. So when I worship God, it's personal to me. I hope when you play that guitar for the Tyler, it's personal to you. And I hope when you get on those drums, it's personal. And I hope when my wife gets on that keyboard and I know her heart, it's personal. And I hope when you all are up here singing or you're helping lead service, it's personal. Not that I get to be seen, that I I get to be a part of what God is doing, no matter how big or how small it might be. It's powerful to be a part of what God is doing. It's personal. And when I worship the Lord, it's not because you told me to clap my hands. It's because He means that much to me. And I know what He's done in my life. I know where He's brought me from. I know the mercy that He has shown on my life. And I don't ever want to take it for granted. And it's personal for me. It's personal. So forgive me if when I worship God, I get a little loud. And forgive me if I get a little over-eccentric. And forgive me if I shout a little louder than the next person. I want you to understand, I'm just not at church. It's personal to me. It's personal to me because of what He has done in my life. Stand with me if you would. I don't want to be here because I got nothing better to do. I'm here because it's personal. And I don't want to give God my very best because someone told me I have to, or because I'm trying to get the church to give me a little higher paycheck. It's personal to me. I had a pastor once told me, he said, at 6 o'clock, a local pastor, at 6 o'clock, he said, my phone's off, don't call me. And I thought, well, I don't understand that one bit. Not one bit. Now, there are times I don't want a phone call, but this ain't a job to me, it's personal. And if somebody calls me up at 11 o'clock at night because their world's falling apart and they need to talk to somebody, let's go. I'll step out. I'll let the rest of the family sleep and I'll try and find a place where I can talk and not wake them up because it's personal. It's not just clocking in and clocking out. When we go and we travel, Jerry, to three services on Sunday, it's not because I have to. It's not because God told me I have to. It's because it's personal. And if God wants us to launch these locations, we'll give it our very best, even if our very best is failure, because it's personal. Huh. It's personal. So I've come to you today to encourage you, make it personal. Make it personal. When you lift your hands, if you don't remember anything I said today, lift your hands and make it personal. When you decide what things must go in your life, don't just say, well, I don't see that in the Bible. Don't just Google it and see what a million other dimwits have to say. What does your heart tell you? What does your mind tell you? What does the Holy Ghost say to you? Have you asked the Holy Ghost? And guess what? If everybody else says I can, but the Holy Ghost says, nah, I'm not sure, I'm going with the big guy because it's personal to me. Hallelujah. Why don't you lift your hands right now for a moment? And why don't you make it personal right now? Whatever you got to say to God, make it personal. Whatever you need from Him, make it personal. Make your request known. You ain't offending God. He's not tired of hearing from you. He wants to be everything in your life. Make it personal. If you're struggling, make it personal. If you've been dealing with sin and your weaknesses is getting the best of you, that's all right. Tell God, say, God, here I am again. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't know why. But help me, Lord. Don't give up on me, God. Have mercy on me, God. Make it personal. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Away, away from the noise. Away, away to hear your voice, just to meet with you. Away, away, away from the noise, just alone with you. Oh, away, to hear your voice. Oh, to worship you, to worship you I live. To worship you I live to worship you. Oh, yes, to worship you I live. To worship you I live to worship you. Oh, to worship you. To worship you I live. To worship you I live to worship you. Oh, 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 to worship you I live. To worship you I live to worship you. Oh, to worship you I live. Oh, to worship you I live to worship you. Oh, nothing else matters. Oh, to worship you I live. Oh, yes, to worship you I live to worship you. Oh, yes, Lord, to worship you. To worship you I live. To worship you I live to worship you. Oh, nothing else matters. Oh, to worship you I live. To worship you, I live to worship you. Oh, 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 oh. Oh yes, Lord. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, we worship the name. Oh, 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 oh. Yes, Lord, worship. Oh, oh, to worship you I live. To worship you I live to worship you. Oh, nothing else matters. Oh, to worship you I live. Oh, yes, to worship, worship you I live to worship you. Oh, yes, Lord, to worship you. To worship you I live. To worship you I live to worship you. Yes, Lord, cause nothing else matters. Oh, to worship you I live. To worship you I live. I live to worship you. Oh, you are the Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Oh, you are the Alpha, you are the Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our
not on. There we go. Now do you understand why when David went into Israel, bringing the Ark of God behind him, do you understand why he worshiped God the way he did now? Do you understand why he only went six paces, he built an altar and he sacrificed? Because it was personal with David. Now watch this. Now do you understand where Solomon got it from after they built the house of the Lord? The Bible says on the day of the benediction, Solomon stood up on something. I don't remember what it was. And he was elevated. He wanted everybody to see him lifting his hands as he prayed that benediction prayer after the tabernacle was finished. Why? Because Solomon, to him it was personal. He did not do some things according to the original blueprint. But he understood God would not allow David to build a temple because of the blood and the wars that he fought. And Solomon was allowed to build that temple. It was personal to him. That's why he climbed up and he elevated himself. And he lifted his hands and he prayed before all the people, the Bible says. Your life will change. Your walk with God will change when you make it personal. And you won't question things the way you used to. And you'll let God do a new thing in your life because it has now become personal to you. Let's praise him again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
To worship you, to worship you, I live. To worship you, I live to worship you. Oh yes, Lord, nothing else matters. To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live to worship you. Oh. Yes, we sing to worship you, to worship you, I live, to worship you, I live to worship you. Oh, nothing else matters, to worship you, I live, to worship you, I live to worship you. Oh yes, to worship, Lord, to worship you, I live. To worship you, I live to worship you. Oh yes, Lord, to worship. To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you. Whoa. To be praised. Oh. are Lord. You are worthy to be praised. You are the Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
Well, before we close, won't you reach beside you and find somebody you can join with and maybe just pray for them for a few minutes, or pray with them, whatever works best for you. But just join with somebody and pray before you conclude this service, if you would.